This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Toxic traits in the workplace versus toxic traits at home. Why the same person behaves differently. The same person can be a nightmare at work and gentle at home. Here is why. In short, toxic traits in the workplace and toxic traits at home share the same root, but the conditions that trigger them are entirely different. Workplace toxicity is often driven by status, competition, and performance pressure. Home toxicity tends to emerge from intimacy, unresolved resentment, and the absence of social performance. The same person can display one and not the other, depending on what they feel they have to lose. Definition: toxic traits in the workplace are persistent behavioral patterns, including manipulation, undermining, and chronic blame, that damage colleagues and corrode team culture over time. At home, the same traits surface through control, emotional withdrawal, or aggression within close relationships, driven by different pressures, but rooted in the same character. You have probably met this person, charming and cooperative at the office party, then quietly devastating to the people who live with them, or the reverse, the colleague who takes credit for your work, dismisses your ideas in meetings, and leaves people dreading Monday mornings, yet by all family accounts is a devoted parent and patient partner. The confusion this creates is real. When someone seems fine in one world and toxic in the other, you start to wonder what is actually going on. Toxic traits do not always travel with a person. They get activated by context. And if you do not understand that, you will either excuse behavior you should confront, or you will misjudge someone entirely. If you are managing a team, navigating a difficult relationship at home, or simply trying to make sense of a person who baffles you, this distinction matters enormously. By the end of this, you will know exactly why the same person behaves differently across settings and what each environment actually requires of you in response. What toxic traits in the workplace really mean. A toxic trait at work is not a bad mood or a sharp remark on a stressful day. It is a persistent pattern that consistently causes harm to the people around it. In practice, this looks like a colleague who reliably undermines others in meetings, a manager who controls through fear rather than trust, or a team member who shifts blame so consistently that accountability becomes impossible. These are not isolated incidents. Their habits and the people around them adjust their behavior to accommodate or avoid the harm. Here is what this looks like in a real situation. A senior team member begins subtly dismissing a junior colleague's contributions in front of others. The junior person stops speaking up. Over time, the whole team goes quieter. Nobody names it directly because the behavior is plausible enough to deny. The toxic trait has done its work without ever requiring a single dramatic confrontation. Toxic traits in the workplace require structural conditions to thrive: hierarchy, status competition, performance pressure, and environments where calling out behavior feels risky. Those conditions are almost always present at work. Understanding this is the first step to addressing it, and you will find more on how to approach those moments and how to start a difficult conversation that's blocking your team synergy. What toxic traits at home really mean. Toxic traits at home operate in a different ecosystem, but they are no less damaging. At home, their arena is intimacy, not performance. The stakes are belonging, love, and emotional safety rather than promotion or reputation. In practice, home-based toxic behavior often appears as chronic emotional withdrawal, cycles of criticism and guilt, manipulation through silence, or a quiet but persistent need for control over the household, finances, or relationships. Because the setting is private and the relationship is deep, these patterns can persist for years without anyone outside the home recognizing them. Consider this: a parent who grew up in a chaotic, unpredictable household may have learned that control is safety. At work, where their competence is recognized and their status is secure, they feel no need to control anyone. At home, where old emotional wounds lie closest to the surface, the compulsion to manage every detail becomes overwhelming. The people who love them bear the weight of something that has nothing to do with them. Home toxic behavior requires one specific condition to grow closeness. The closer the relationship, the more the mask comes off, and the more the behavior is taken personally by the people receiving it. The key differences side by side. Dimension: toxic traits in the workplace, toxic traits at home. Primary driver: status, anxiety, competition, fear of inadequacy, emotional wounds, unresolved resentment, need for control. Trigger: hierarchy, scrutiny, performance pressure, intimacy, vulnerability, absence of social performance, typical form undermining, credit dealing, blame shifting, passive aggression, emotional withdrawal, criticism cycles, manipulation, control, who bears the cost, colleagues, teams, organizational culture, partners, children, close family members. What it erodes psychological safety and professional trust, emotional safety and relational trust. Common mistake by others assuming the person is like this everywhere, assuming the person is fine because they behave well at work. What is required in response? Clear naming, boundaries, systemic support, direct conversation, consistent limits, sometimes professional help. The most important distinction here is the trigger. Workplace toxic behavior is, in most cases, a response to felt threat. Remove the threat, and you often remove the behavior. That is not an excuse. It is a map. Home toxic behavior is harder to shift precisely because the trigger is not external pressure, but internal pain. The person does not need to feel threatened to act harmfully. The closeness itself is enough. The common mistake in workplaces is treating toxic behavior as a personality flaw that exists everywhere. People make allowances they should not, or they assume there's nothing to be done because that is just who they are. Addressing the behavior directly, as outlined in scripts for addressing team members who are undermining group synergy, is usually more effective than waiting for character to change. The common mistake at home is the reverse, assuming that because someone is well regarded at work, the harm they cause at home must be exaggerated or misunderstood. It is not. The two can absolutely coexist. With toxic traits in the workplace and at home overlap. These two things are not entirely separate. In some people and some situations, they're expressions of the same wound playing out across different stages. Naming the overlap builds a more honest picture when power is the core issue. Some people are toxic in both places because their need for control is not situational. It travels with them. A manager who manipulates subordinates at work is often the same person who controls their partner at home. In these cases, the trait is not context-dependent. It is a fixed feature of how they move through the world. When stress overwhelms coping, a person who functions reasonably well in both settings can become toxic in both when they are overwhelmed. Job loss, bereavement, serious illness, these kinds of pressure can strip away the social performance that kept the behavior contained. The toxicity spills across every boundary. Unmet needs often sit beneath this kind of escalation, and how unmet needs drive team conflict, and what to say to restore synergy offers useful framing for that dynamic. When the behavior has gone unnamed too long, whether at work or at home, toxic behavior that nobody has ever directly addressed tends to deepen and spread. The person comes to believe the behavior is acceptable because nobody has said otherwise. Silence functions as permission in both environments, as why avoiding difficult conversations is the hidden enemy of team synergy makes plain. The overlap is real, but knowing the difference still matters. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book 8 Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. When to address toxic traits in the workplace. Use this approach when the behavior is occurring in a professional setting and affecting colleagues, team dynamics, or organizational culture. When a pattern has repeated at least twice, one incident can be addressed informally. A repeated pattern requires a direct, documented conversation. A single bad day does not constitute a toxic trait. Repetition does. When others are adjusting their behavior to avoid the person. If your team is going quiet in meetings, withholding ideas, or routing around a specific individual, the toxic trait is already reshaping the team. That is a clear signal that action is needed, and passive aggression in particular can be addressed as described in How to Address Passive-Aggressive Behavior That Silently Eroded Team Synergy. When blame has become a team norm, if accountability has vanished and people are routinely deflecting responsibility, a toxic pattern is operating at the team level, not just within one individual. When you are managing someone with these traits, as a manager, you can't afford to wait. Tolerating toxic behavior signals to everyone else that it is acceptable. That signal damages the whole team's trust in you. When the behavior involves a power imbalance, a junior person exhibiting difficult behavior is a different problem from a senior person doing the same. Address both, but treat the seniority difference as a serious escalating factor. If you use home-based strategies in a professional setting, specifically waiting, withdrawing, or hoping the relationship will heal naturally, you will likely make the workplace situation worse. When to address toxic traits at home. Use this approach when the behaviour is occurring within close personal relationships, where the dynamics of intimacy, shared history, and emotional dependency are in play. When the behaviour has become the baseline, if someone's toxic pattern has become simply how things are in your home, that normalisation is itself a warning sign. Patterns that feel ordinary have usually been building for a long time when children are absorbing it. Children who grow up watching toxic behaviour learn it as a model for relationships. The harm extends beyond the immediate relationship and into the next generation when emotional safety has been lost. If people in the household are walking on eggshells, modifying what they say or do to avoid triggering the person, the environment has become unsafe. That is not a communication problem. It is a behaviour problem. When confrontation keeps ending the same way, if every attempt to name the behaviour results in deflection, escalation, or manipulation, you're dealing with a pattern that requires outside support, not a better script. When the behaviour is intermittent, but severe. Cycles of warmth and harm are a specific type of toxic pattern. The warmth does not cancel the harm. It makes it harder to name clearly. If you bring workplace-style accountability frameworks into a home relationship without addressing the emotional dimension first, you will likely be heard as attacking the person rather than the behaviour. Using I statements carefully, as covered in How to Use I Statements in Teen Conversations to Prevent Synergy-Breaking Blame Cycles, matters in both settings. Common confusions and how to resolve them. Let me walk you through the three confusions I see most often. The confusion. They cannot be toxic at work because they are lovely at home. Why it happens? We assume character is consistent across all settings, so evidence of goodness in one place feels like proof of goodness everywhere. The resolution. Behavior is contextual. The conditions at work, particularly status pressure and competition, can activate patterns that simply have no trigger at home. Loving someone at home does not prevent them from causing real harm to people at work. The confusion. The behavior at home is probably just stress from work. Why it happens? We look for external causes when someone we care about behaves badly, because internal causes feel harsher and harder to address. The resolution. Work stress can amplify existing toxic patterns, but it does not create them from nothing. If the behaviour is consistent and persistent at home, it belongs to the home relationship, not the job. Addressing it as a stress symptom delays addressing it as a behaviour. The confusion. Addressing toxic traits at work is the same as addressing them at home. Why it happens? We carry the same communication tools across every relationship without adjusting for context, because learning new ones feels like extra work. The resolution. The professional setting requires clarity, directness, and documentation. The home setting requires emotional safety and relational repair alongside directness. The words might be similar, but the conditions, and therefore the approach, are different. Knowing which setting you are in changes how you prepare. Once you see this clearly, you will not confuse them again. Practical recommendations by situation. Here is how to decide which one to focus on based on your situation. If you are managing someone whose toxic behavior is affecting your team, name the specific behavior and its impact clearly and promptly. Do not wait for it to resolve itself. A team watching you tolerate the behavior is a team losing trust in your leadership. Use how to communicate a strategic change to your team in a way that preserves synergy as a guide for framing difficult messages with care. If you are living with someone whose behavior at home is causing harm, begin by naming the pattern rather than the incident. Single incidents invite justification. Patterns invite accountability. Be specific about what you observe, what you feel, and what you need to change. If you are watching a colleague absorb toxic behavior from another, silence is not neutrality in this case. Even a quiet, private acknowledgement to the person being harmed, "I see what is happening, and it is not acceptable," provides connection and signals that they are not imagining it. That matters more than you might think. If you are unsure whether you are in a difficult relationship or a toxic one, the distinction is in the pattern. Difficult people have bad moments and remain open to repair. Truly toxic traits persist through every attempt at correction and leave consistent damage behind. Trust what you observe over time, not what you hear in the better moments. Knowing which environment you are working in and which forces are driving the behavior is itself a form of progress. Key takeaways. Here is what matters most from this comparison. Toxic traits are not fixed. They are often activated by context, which means the setting matters as much as the person. Workplace toxic behaviour is most commonly driven by status anxiety, competition, and the pressure of being watched and evaluated by others. Home toxic behaviour is most commonly driven by intimacy, unresolved emotional pain, and the absence of social performance that keeps the behaviour contained elsewhere. The same person can be genuinely harmful in one setting and not in the other. Neither reality cancels out the other. Silence in both environments works in the same direction. It signals that the behaviour is acceptable and deepens the pattern over time. The method for addressing toxic traits in the workplace differs from the method for addressing them at home, because the conditions, triggers, and relationships are different. For further reading on navigating these dynamics in a professional setting, see scripts for addressing team members who are undermining group synergy and how to address passive-aggressive behaviour that's silently eroding team synergy. Understanding the root of toxic traits workplace behaviour is always the first step toward doing something about it. Frequently asked questions. What are toxic traits in the workplace? Toxic traits in the workplace are repeated patterns of behaviour that harm colleagues, erode trust, and damage team performance. They include undermining, manipulation, passive aggression, and chronic blame shifting. Unlike a bad day, these patterns persist over time and create a consistently unsafe or corrosive environment. Why do toxic traits show up differently at work than at home? Context shapes behaviour. At work, stakes involve status, job security, and social performance under scrutiny. At home, different power dynamics and emotional expectations apply. A person who controls obsessively at work may feel no need to do so at home, where they feel less threatened or more secure. Can someone have toxic traits at work but not at home? Yes, and this is more common than most people realise. Toxic behaviour is often situational, driven by stress, fear, and the specific pressures of a setting. Someone who feels powerless at work may act out there while remaining calm and caring in their home life. How do you deal with toxic traits in the workplace? Name the behaviour clearly and specifically, without attacking the person. Use direct language that describes impact, not motive. Set firm limits around what you will and will not accept. If the behaviour continues, escalate through proper channels. Silence is not neutrality. It signals that the behaviour is acceptable. What is the difference between difficult behaviour and truly toxic traits? Difficult behaviour is occasional, often situational, and the person is usually open to feedback. Truly toxic traits are persistent, resist correction, and consistently harm others regardless of context. The key difference is pattern and intent. Toxic traits do not disappear when the person has a good day. Why do toxic people behave better at home than at work? Home environments often offer more emotional safety, fewer status threats, and relationships built on genuine affection. At work, competition, hierarchy, and fear of inadequacy can trigger toxic patterns that simply have no trigger at home. The person is not necessarily a different person. The conditions are different. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.